In my first episode, I was talking about how randomly a male friend, someone that I hadn't met through the industry, someone that I felt like I had been, like we had had decent human conversations, and like sex really wasn't something that wasn't on the table to even be thought of or suggested, so to speak. It happened, and I mean, I've already been thinking about this and like how we've been in the world. I just it triggered me. You know, even watching this episode 8 of The Last of Us with the David character, that character in particular, I know of real people that are just like that. And I'm not saying that women can't be predatorial. If you are a male that was, as a minor especially, taken advantage of, assaulted basically, by an older woman, your experience is just as valid. I'm not talking about these things to invalidate anyone's experience. I'm processing through all of this. And so, like, being surprised, being taken aback in a moment where I wasn't expecting someone to be so sexually suggestive with me, someone that I trusted, just very off-putting, made me very sad. And, you know, it made me think about also like my life as well. Something I've never said out loud, but I'll say it now. And who knows, maybe it might help, maybe it won't. But my brother's dad always made me uncomfortable. Always. The way he looked at me, the way he would like suggestively always just be like, you know, come sit by me, like, come here, my friend. I don't remember if that man ever did anything to me, but I do remember that he was one of the first men to ever make me uneasy. One of many. I distinctly remember, especially when I was like active in the first 2 years of sex work, I loved the customer service portion of my job. As odd as that sounds, when I would, while scoping out someone's house in order to make sure like I was safe, I knew where the exits were, blah 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 blah, especially when making out calls. Or even when I had in calls, you know, like I enjoyed speaking with these clients as like a human being. It wasn't all immediately just like, come into my lair so I can like suck you dry. Anyone that's ever been attended to by me knows that this is true. I make a lot of conversation. There can even be flirty banter. But like overall, I will treat you, and I pride myself on this, I will treat the person that I'm about to service just like any other person, like with common respect and like just like a genuine interest. But it would always break my heart a little bit once, like, it always happened with, like, it was never with any words. As I would be speaking to them once they were ready to initiate things, it would always be with a hand on the knee or a hand going up my body, or they would all of a sudden stop talking, and then I realized that it was time to work, and that it was time to not be that bubbly nice Danielle, put her to the side and give the person what they really wanted. And you know, I have an episode that I talked a bit about this one guy that was like super kind, that I had met, and then when I saw him on top of me looking like a fucking disgusting red-faced animal, like how off-putting that was. It's kind of like that feeling, but like a little less intense, because I know why. I'm an idiot. Like, clients come in, they're not there to make friends. That might happen, might, like, without planning it, but they're there to have a good sexually explicit time. Like, so I'm not saying that it's a surprise, it's just like the transition always made me kind of sad, because then I remembered like why, just like what my work was, what the majority of my work was. I did, you know, I think that's probably why I didn't make as much as I could have, because like for me, I wanted so badly to make my very sexual job as much like non-sexual as I could, like legitimize it, and I've talked about that, and I think it is possible to a certain extent, but as I've matured and seen how I go throughout the world, how I've like even like fluctuations in my weight and how men are towards me now versus when I was thinner, or thin, not thin, but like not this weight. So like my average weight during the first 2 to 3 years in escorting was between like 175 and 185. I'm now 230 pounds. It's the difference. Like, you know what? It's so funny though. Now that also kind of like just snuck up on me. I know that sounds dumb, but it did. But anyway, just like that, I was originally talking about that disappointing feeling of the transition from the conversation and getting to know the customer service part of my job, and then transitioning into the sexual, and then, you know, thinking about the fact that like, over the years, like, I can't think of one single, you know what, no, there was David, you know what, but even with David, I had a purpose to be, like, I was trying to say, like, I can't think of one single man that I had an interaction with where it didn't feel like the potential for sex was there, and I'd be lying. The only thing with David, though, as much as I loved him, he was a boss of mine that, you know, I thought we were friends. And I think that you can't be friends with a boss. But this man is also a liar. This man has no problem exploiting people for their labor and underpaying them. Like, there was so much about David, con-wise, professionally, when we worked together, that, like, I know it's that type of seedy, you know, company culture where it's like, oh, we're a family, which is it really means that, like, oh, we have more boundaries and we'll overwork you and, you know, help you get to burnout faster. So, but that aside, I never once, so I lied, but like, so like I said, that aside, I never once, even when he, like when I admitted to him about the work that I was doing in the sex industry, we would work so close together and in the warehouse and have many moments alone. And, you know, this kind of gives me a glimmer of hope. But I never once felt like he looked at me in a sexual way. And I felt like I was not an object of his desire, and it was very, now that I think about it, very safe. And I can't believe I didn't remember that. You know, we have our political differences. We don't talk anymore. I've kept myself away from him. But I do appreciate, now that I'm thinking about it, the one man who might have fucked me over professionally, but he didn't ever try anything on me. He was never sexually suggestive. No matter what outfits I wore, whether I dressed up or down, it was always just, oh fuck, I'm gonna cry, man. I was just, like, safe to exist. Fuck, man. If he had not been such a shitty businessman, I don't know, maybe I was crazy for letting him go as a friend. I made the joke years ago, like in a few other episodes I did, about like mentioning having daddy issues or not having daddy issues. And it's not so much missing my father, but missing what a father is. And now I'm finally understanding that, yeah, I do have these issues. I am working through these issues. It is not a joke. You can make fun at times to help, you know, keep your spirit up, but it's true. It's true. And as much as sex work in many ways can be liberating, like I said earlier, it can really just make, like, really reopen old wounds and make them deeper. And quite honestly, I never thought that a show would also, like, be a trigger for all of this, of all things. I never thought that. But I'm hoping that one day, I will experience a healthy fatherly love. I really have high hopes for it, because I'm tired of feeling like I'm surrounded by wolves. really am. And you know, I think that's why, like, especially this time when I went back into the spa, like, I wasn't thriving. I mean, in amongst other circumstances, like recession, the holidays that were happening, like, I went in hot, it was okay, it started to go stale, but, like, there was also the thing where I've experienced this before when I had burnout in 2019, where I was like, I couldn't perform, if you will. I couldn't pretend anymore. And, like, I think I'm feeling, for a different reason now, I was feeling that. I am feeling that. Does that mean that, like, I'm completely off put by sex work in general forever? No. It just means, like, my season for work in that was shorter than I thought it would be. And, you know, ever going back into it, I mean, it really has to be done on my terms, because the moment I start struggling and I start taking clients that I wouldn't usually, like, it really does feel degrading. I don't know if I kind of just went off from what I was originally saying, but whatever. I think it makes sense. There's no real closure. I know that these are things that I will live with for the rest of my life. But, you know, if this helps somebody not feel alone, that would be great. Because, I mean, that would just be fucking great. Yeah. I don't know if you can actually understand me. I know my voice is, like, really raspy from... God, I don't even know why my voice sounds like this. And the way I'm talking, I know I'm mumbling. But I've been trying to enunciate. It's congestion, man. Living is hard. It's fucking hard. For it. I don't want to go yet, but I'd be lying if I said that it was all fucking rainbows and sunshine. I don't have a sentence to, like, put this, like, close it with a little bow, like, full closure. I am an eternal mess. And I just want to be able to experience good in this life. And, like, that's definitely one of my goals, like I said. Experiencing platonic fatherly love from a man is a goal or a dream. It's more like a dream, honestly. Given the experience I've had thus far.